you under the seal of the Covenant. If you help us, anything you say will be confidential.
And if I don't help you?
Jace spread his hands wide. The rune tattoos on his palms stood out stark and black.
Maybe nothing. Maybe a visit from the Silent City.
Magnus's voice was honey poured over shards of ice.
That's quite a choice you're offering me, little Shadow Hunter.
It's no choice at all, said Jace.
Yes, said the warlock. That's exactly what I meant.
Magnus's bedroom was a riot of color. Canary yellow sheets and bedspread draped over a mattress on the floor. Electric blue vanity table strewn with more pots of paint and makeup than Isabel's. Rainbow velvet curtains hid the floor-to-ceiling windows, and a tangled wool rug covered the floor.
Nice place, said Jace, drawing aside a heavy swag of curtain. Guess it pays well, being the High Warlock of Brooklyn.
It pays, Magnus said. Not much of a benefit package, though. No dental.
He shut the door behind him and leaned against it. When he crossed his arms, his t-shirt rode up, showing a strip of flat golden stomach unmarked by a navel.
So, he said, what's on your devious little minds?
It's not them, actually, Clary said, finding her voice before Jace could reply. I'm the one that wanted to talk to you. Magnus turned his inhuman eyes on her.
You are not one of them, he said. Not of the Clave, but you can see the invisible world.
My mother was one of the Clave, Clary said. It was the first time she had said it out loud and known it to be true.
But she never told me. She kept it a secret. I don't know why.
So ask her.
I can't. Clary hesitated. She's gone.
And your father?
He died before I was born.
Magnus exhaled irritably.
As Oscar Wilde once said, to lose one parent may be regarded as a misfortune. To lose both seems like carelessness.
Clary heard Jace make a small hissing sound, like air being sucked through his teeth. She said,
I didn't lose my mother. She was taken from me. By Valentine.
I don't know any Valentine, said Magnus,
but his eyes flickered like wavering candle flames, and Clary knew he was lying.
I'm sorry for your tragic circumstances, but I fail to see what any of this has to do with me. If you could tell me.
She can't tell you because she doesn't remember, Jace said sharply. Someone erased her memories, so we went to the Silent City to see what the brothers could pull out of her head. They got two words. I think you can guess what they were.
There was a short silence. Finally, Magnus let his mouth turn up at the corner. His smile was bitter.
My signature, he said. I knew it was folly when I did it. An act of hubris.
You signed my mind? Clary said in disbelief. Magnus raised his hand, tracing the fiery outlines of letters against the air. When he dropped his hand, they hung there. Hot and golden, making the painted lines of his eyes and mouth burn with reflected light. Magnus Bane.
I was proud of my work on you, he said slowly, looking at Clary. So clean, so perfect. What you saw you would forget even as you saw it. No image of pixie or goblin or long-legged beastie would remain to trouble your blameless mortal sleep. It was the way she wanted it.
Clary's voice was thin with tension.
The way who wanted it?
Magnus sighed, and at the touch of his breath, the fire letters sifted away to glowing ash. Finally, he spoke, and though she was not surprised, though she had known exactly what he was going to say, still, she felt the words like a blow against her heart.
Your mother, he said.
Chapter 13. The Memory of Whiteness.
My mother did this to me?
Clary demanded, but her surprised outrage didn't sound convincing, even to her own ears. Looking around, she saw pity in Jace's eyes, in Alex. Even Alec had guessed and felt sorry for her.
Why? I don't know.
Magnus spread his long white hands.
It's not my job to ask questions. I do what I get paid to do. Within the bounds of the covenant, Jace reminded him, his voice soft as cat's fur. Magnus inclined his head.
Within the bounds of the covenant, of course.
So the covenant's all right with this mind rape? Clary asked bitterly. When no one answered, she sank down on the edge of Magnus's bed.
Was it only once? Was there something specific she wanted me to forget? Do you know what it was?
Magnus paced restlessly to the window.
I don't think you understand. The first time I ever saw you, you must have been about 2 years old. I was watching out this window.
He tapped the glass, freeing a shower of dust and paint chips.
And I saw her hurrying up the street, holding something wrapped in a blanket. I was surprised when she stopped at my door. She looked so ordinary, so young.
The moonlight touched his hawkish profile with silver.
She unwrapped the blanket when she came in my door. You were inside it. She set you down on the floor and you started ranging around, picking things up, pulling my cat's tail. You screamed like a banshee when the cat scratched you. So I asked your mother if you were part banshee. She didn't laugh. He paused. They were all watching him intently now, even Alec. She told me she was a shadow hunter. There was no point in her lying about it. Marks show up, even when they've faded with time. Like faint silver scars against the skin, they flickered when she moved.
He rubbed at the glitter makeup around his eyes.
She told me she'd hoped you'd been born with a blind inner eye. Some shadow hunters have to be taught to see the shadow world. But she'd caught you that afternoon, teasing a pixie trapped in a hedge. She knew you could see. So she asked me if it was possible to blind you of the sight.
Clary made a little noise, a pained exhalation of breath, but Magnus went on remorselessly.
I told her that crippling that part of your mind might leave you damaged, possibly insane. She didn't cry. She wasn't the sort of woman who weeps easily, your mother. She asked me if there was another way, and I told her you could be made to forget those parts of the shadow world that you could see, even as you saw them. The only caveat was that she'd have to come to me every 2 years as the results of the spell began to fade.
And did she? Asked Clary.
Magnus nodded. I've seen you every 2 years since that first time. I've watched you grow up. You're the only child I've ever watched grow up that way, you know. In my business, one isn't generally that welcome around human children.
So you recognized Clary when we walked in, Jay said. You must have.
Of course I did. Magnus sounded exasperated. And it was a shock, too. But what would you have done? She didn't know me. She wasn't supposed to know me. Just the fact that she was here meant the spell had started to fade. And in fact, we were due for another visit about a month ago. I even came by your house when I got back from Tanzania. But Jocelyn said that you two had had a fight and you'd run off. She said she'd call on me when you came back, but, an elegant shrug, she never did.
A cold wash of memory prickled Clary's skin. She remembered standing in the foyer next to Simon, straining to remember something that danced just at the edge of her vision. I thought I saw Dorothea's cat, but it was just a trick of the light. But Dorothea didn't have a cat. You were there that day, Clary said. I saw you coming out of Dorothea's apartment. I remember your eyes. Magnus looked as if he might purr.
I'm memorable, it's true, he gloated.
Then he shook his head.
You shouldn't remember me, he said. I threw up a glamour as hard as a wall as soon as I saw you. You should have run right into it face first, psychically speaking.
If you run into a psychic wall face first, do you wind up with psychic bruises? Clary said, if you take the spell off me, will I be able to remember all the things I've forgotten? All the memories you stole?
I can't take it off you.
Magnus looked uncomfortable.
What? Jace sounded furious. Why not? The clave requires you.
Magnus looked at him coldly.
I don't like being told what to do, little shadow hunter.
Clary could see how much Jace disliked being referred to as little, but before he could snap out a reply, Alex spoke. His voice was soft, thoughtful.
Don't you know how to reverse it? He asked. The spell, I mean.
Magnus sighed.
Undoing a spell is a great deal more difficult than creating it in the first place. The intricacy of this one,
the care I put into weaving it. If I made even the smallest mistake in unraveling it, her mind could be damaged forever. Besides, he added, it's already begun to fade. The effects will vanish over time on their own. Clary looked at him sharply.
Will I get all my memories back then? Whatever was taken out of my head?
I don't know. They might come back all at once, or in stages. Or you might never remember what you've forgotten over the years. What your mother asked me to do was unique, in my experience. I've no idea what will happen.
But I don't want to wait.
Clary folded her hands tightly in her lap, her fingers clamped together so hard that the tips turned white.
All my life, I've felt like there was something wrong with me. Something missing or damaged.
Now I know. I didn't damage you. It was Magnus's turn to interrupt. His lips curled back angrily to show sharp white teeth.
Every teenager in the world feels that. Feels broken or out of place. Different somehow. Royalty mistakenly born into a family of peasants. The difference in your case is that it's true. You are different. Maybe not better, but different. And it's no picnic being different. You want to know what it's like when you happen to be born with the devil's mark?
He pointed at his eyes, fingers splayed.
When your father flinches at the sight of you, and your mother hangs herself in the barn, driven mad by what she's done, or what's been done to her.
When I was 10, my father tried to drown me in a creek. He knew I was no son of his, that my real father was a demon. I lashed out at him with everything I had, burned him where he stood. I went to the Silent Brothers eventually for sanctuary. They hid me. They say that pity's a bitter thing, but it's better than hate. When I found out what I was really, only half a human being, I hated myself. Anything is better than that.
There was silence when Magnus was done speaking. To Clary's surprise, it was Alec who broke it.
It wasn't your fault, he said. You can't help how you're born.
Magnus's expression was closed.
I'm over it, he said. I think you get my point. Different isn't better, Clarissa. Your mother was trying to protect you. Don't throw it back in her face.
Clary's hands relaxed their grip on each other.
I don't care if I'm different, she said. I just want to be who I really am.
Magnus swore in a language she didn't know. It sounded like crackling flames.
All right, listen. I can't undo what I've done, but I can give you something else. A piece of what would have been yours if you'd been raised a true child of the Nephilim.
He stalked across the room to the bookcase and dragged down a heavy volume bound in rotting green velvet. He flipped through the pages, shedding dust and bits of blackened cloth. The pages were thin, almost translucent eggshell parchment, each marked with a stark black rune. Jace's eyebrows went up.
Is that a copy of the Grey Book?
Magnus, feverishly flipping pages, said nothing.
Hodge has one, Alec observed. He showed it to me once.
It's not gray, Clary felt compelled to point out. It's green.
If there was such a thing as terminal literism, you'd have died in childhood, said Jace, brushing dust off the windowsill and eyeing it as if considering whether it was clean enough to sit on. Gray is short for grammary. It means magic, hidden wisdom. In it is copied every rune the angel Raziel wrote in the original Book of the Covenant. There aren't many copies because each one has to be specially made. Some of the runes are so powerful they'd burn through regular pages.
Alec looked impressed. I didn't know all that. Jace hopped up on the windowsill and swung his legs.
Not all of us sleep through history lessons.
I do not.
Oh, yes you do, and drool on the desk besides.
Shut up, said Magnus, but he said it quite mildly.
He hooked his finger between two pages of the book and came over to Clary, setting it carefully in her lap.
Now, when I open the book, I want you to study the page. Look at it until you feel something change inside your mind.
Will it hurt? Clary asked nervously.
All knowledge hurts,
he replied, and stood up, letting the book fall open in her lap. Clary stared down at the clean white page with the black rune mark spilled across it. It looked something like a winged spiral until she tilted her head, and then it seemed like a staff wound around with vines. The mutable corners of the pattern tickled her mind like feathers brushed against sensitive skin. She felt the shivery flicker of reaction, making her want to close her eyes, but she held them open until they stung and blurred. She was about to blink when she felt it, a click inside her head, like a key turning in a lock. The rune on the page seemed to spring into sharp focus, and she thought, involuntarily, remember. If the rune were a word, it would have been that one, but there was more meaning to it than any word she could imagine. It was a child's first memory of light falling through crib bars, the recollected scent of rain and city streets, the pain of unforgotten loss, the sting of remembered humiliation, and the cruel forgetfulness of old age, when the most ancient of memories stand out with agonizingly clear precision, and the nearest of incidents are lost beyond recall. With a little sigh, she turned to the next page, and the next, letting the images and sensations flow over her. Sorrow, thought, strength, protection, grace. And then cried out in reproachful surprise as Magnus snatched the book off her lap. That's enough, he said, sliding it back onto its shelf. He dusted his hands off on his jeans, leaving streaks of gray. If you read all the runes at once, you'll give yourself a headache. But most Shadow Hunter children grow up learning one rune at a time over a period of years, said Jace. The gray book contains runes even I don't know. Imagine that, said Magnus. Jace ignored him. Magnus showed you the rune for understanding and remembrance. It opens your mind up to reading and recognizing the rest of the marks. It also may serve as a trigger to activate dormant memories, said Magnus. They could return to you more quickly than they would otherwise. It's the best I can do. Clary looked down at her lap. I still don't remember anything about the mortal cup. Is that what this is about? Magnus sounded actually astonished. You're after the angel's cup? Look, I've been through your memories. There was nothing in them about the mortal instruments. Mortal instruments? Clary echoed, bewildered. I thought the angel gave 3 items to the first Shadow Hunters. A cup, a sword, and a mirror. The Silent Brothers have the sword. The cup and the mirror were in Idris, at least until Valentine came along. Nobody knows where the mirror is, said Alec. Nobody's known for ages. It's the cup that concerns us, said Jace. Valentine's looking for it. And you want to get to it before he does? Magnus asked, his eyebrows winging upward. I thought you said you didn't know who Valentine was, Clary pointed out. I lied, Magnus admitted candidly. I'm not one of the Fae, you know. I'm not required to be truthful. And only a fool would get between Valentine and his revenge. Is that what you think he's after? Revenge? Said Jace. I would guess so. He suffered a grave defeat, and he hardly seems, the type of man to suffer defeat gracefully. Alec looked harder at Magnus. Were you at the uprising? Magnus's eyes locked with Alec's. I was. I killed a number of your folk.
Circle members, said Jace quickly, not ours.
If you insist on disavowing that which is ugly about what you do, said Magnus, still looking at Alec, you will never learn from your mistakes.
Alec, plucking at the coverlet with one hand, flushed an unhappy red. You don't seem surprised to hear that Valentine's still alive, he said, avoiding Magnus's gaze. Magnus spread his hands wide.
Are you?
Jace opened his mouth, then closed it again. He looked actually baffled. Eventually, he said,
So you won't help us find the mortal cup?
I wouldn't if I could, said Magnus, which, by the way, I can't. I've no idea where it is, and I don't care to know. Only a fool, as I said.
Alec sat up straighter.
But without the cup, we can't—
Make more of you, I know, said Magnus. Perhaps not everyone regards that as quite the disaster that you do.
Mind you, he added, if I had to choose between the Clave and Valentine, I would choose the Clave. At least they're not actually sworn to wipe out my kind. But nothing the Clave has done has earned my unswerving loyalty either. So no, I'll sit this one out. Now, if we're done here, I'd like to get back to my party before any of the guests eat each other. Jace, who was clenching and unclenching his hands, looked like he was about to say something furious, but Alec, standing up, put a hand on his shoulder.
Clary couldn't quite tell in the dimness, but it looked as if Alec was squeezing rather hard.
Is that likely? He asked.
Magnus was looking at him with some amusement.
It's happened before.
Jace muttered something to Alec, who let go. Detaching himself, he came over to Clary.
Are you all right?
He asked in a low voice.
I think so. I don't feel any different.
Magnus, standing by the door, snapped his fingers impatiently.
Move it along, teenagers. The only person who gets to canoodle in my bedroom is my magnificent self.
Canoodle? Repeated Clary, never having heard the word before.
Magnificent,
repeated Jace, who was just being nasty. Magnus growled. The growl sounded like, get out. They got, Magnus trailing behind them as he paused to lock the bedroom door. The tenor of the party seemed subtly different to Clary. Perhaps it was just her slightly altered vision. Everything seemed clearer, crystalline edges sharply defined. She watched a group of musicians take the small stage at the center of the room. They wore flowing garments in deep colors of gold, purple, and green, and their high voices were sharp and ethereal.
I hate fairy bands,
Magnus muttered as the musicians segued into another haunting song, the melody as delicate and translucent as rock crystal.
All they ever play is mopey ballads.
Jace, glancing around the room, laughed.
Where's Isabel?
A rush of guilty concern hit Clary. She'd forgotten about Simon. She spun around, looking for the familiar skinny shoulders and shock of dark hair.
I don't see him. Them, I mean.
There she is.
Alec spotted his sister and waved her over, looking relieved.
Over here, and watch out for the puka.
Watch out for the puka,
Jace repeated, glancing toward a thin brown-skinned man in a green paisley vest, who eyed Isabel thoughtfully as she walked by.
He pinched me when I passed him earlier, Alec said stiffly, in a highly personal area.
I hate to break it to you, but if he's interested in your highly personal areas, he probably isn't interested in your sister's.
Not necessarily, said Magnus. Fairies aren't particular.
Jace curled his lips scornfully in the warlock's direction.
You still here?
Before Magnus could reply, Isabel was on top of them, looking pink-faced and blotchy and smelling strongly of alcohol.
Jace, Alec, where have you been? I've been looking all over.
Where's Simon? Clary interrupted. Isabel wobbled.
He's a rat, she said darkly.
Did he do something to you? Alec was full of brotherly concern. Did he touch you? If he tried anything?
No, Alec, Isabel said irritably. Not like that. He's a rat.
She's drunk, said Jace, beginning to turn away in disgust.
I'm not, Isabel said indignantly. Well, maybe a little, but that's not the point. The point is Simon drank one of those blue drinks. I told him not to, but he didn't listen, and he turned into a rat.
A rat? Clary repeated incredulously.
You don't mean...
I mean a rat, Isabel said.
Little, brown, scaly tail.
The Clave isn't going to like this, said Alec dubiously.
I'm pretty sure turning mundanes into rats is against the law.
Technically, she didn't turn him into a rat, Jace pointed out. The worst she could be accused of is negligence.
Who cares about the stupid law? Clary screamed, grabbing a hold of Isabel's wrist. My best friend is a rat. Ouch!
Isabel tried to pull her wrist back.
Let go of me. Not until you tell me where he is.
She'd never wanted to smack anyone as much as she wanted to smack Isabel right at that moment.
I can't believe you just left him. He's probably terrified.
If he hasn't been stepped on, Jace pointed out unhelpfully.
I didn't leave him. He ran under the bar,
Isabel protested, pointing.
Let go. You're denting my bracelet.
Bitch,
Clary said savagely and flung a surprised-looking Isabel's hand back at her, hard. She didn't stop for a reaction. She was running toward the bar. Dropping to her knees, she peered into the dark space under it. In the moldy-smelling gloom, she thought she could just detect a pair of glinting, beady eyes.
Simon, she said, her voice choked. Is that you?
Simon the Rat crept forward slightly, his whiskers trembling. She could see the shape of his small, rounded ears, flat against his head and the sharp point of his nose. She fought down a feeling of revulsion. She'd never liked rats. with their yellowy squared-off teeth all ready to bite. She wished he'd been turned into a hamster.
"It's me, Clary," she said slowly. "Are you okay?"
Jace and the others arrived behind her, Isabel looking more annoyed now than tearful.
"Is he under there?" Jace asked curiously.
Clary, still on her hands and knees, nodded.
"Shh, you'll frighten him off."
She pushed her fingers gingerly under the edge of the bar and wiggled them.
"Please come out, Simon. We'll get Magnus to reverse the spell. It'll be okay."
She heard a squeak, and the rat's pink nose poked out from beneath the bar. With an exclamation of relief, Clary seized the rat in her hands.
"Simon, you understood me!"
The rat, huddled in the hollow of her palms, squeaked glumly. Delighted, she hugged him to her chest.
"Oh, poor baby," she crooned, almost as if he were really a pet. "Poor Simon. It'll be fine, I promise."
"I wouldn't feel too sorry for him," Jay said. "That's probably the closest he's ever gotten to second base."
"Shut up!"
Clary glared at Jace furiously, but she did loosen her grip on the rat. His whiskers were trembling, whether in anger or agitation or simple terror, she couldn't tell.
"Get Magnus," she said sharply. "We have to turn him back."
"Let's not be hasty."
Jace was actually grinning, the bastard. He reached towards Simon as if he meant to pet him.
"He's cute like that. Look at his little pink nose."
Simon bared long yellow teeth at Jace and made a snapping motion. Jace pulled his outstretched hand back.
"Izzy, go fetch our magnificent host."
"Why me?"
Isabel looked petulant.
"Because it's your fault the mundane's a rat, idiot," he said,
and Clary was struck by how rarely any of them, other than Isabel, ever said Simon's actual name.
"And we can't leave him here."
"You'd be happy to leave him here if it weren't for her,"
Isabel said, managing to inject the single syllable word with enough venom to poison an elephant. She stalked off, her skirt flouncing around her hips.
"I can't believe she let you drink that blue drink," Clary said to Rat Simon. "Now you see what you get for being so shallow."
Simon squeaked irritably. Clary heard someone chuckle and glanced up to see Magnus leaning over her. Isabel stood behind him, her expression furious.
"Rattus norwegicus," said Magnus, peering at Simon. "A common brown rat, nothing exotic."
"I don't care what kind of rat he is," Clary said crossly. "I want him turned back."
Magnus scratched his head thoughtfully, shedding glitter.
"No point," he said.
"That's what I said."
Jace looked pleased.
"No point?"
Clary shouted so loudly that Simon hid his head under her thumb.
"How can you say there's no point?"
"Because he'll turn back on his own in a few hours," said Magnus. "The effect of the cocktails is temporary. No point working up a transformation spell. It'll just traumatize him. Too much magic is hard on mundanes. Their systems aren't used to it."
"I doubt his system is used to being a rat either," Clary pointed out. "You're a warlock, can't you just reverse the spell?"
Magnus considered.
"No," he said.
"You mean you won't?"
"Not for free, darling, and you can't afford me."
"I can't take a rat home on the subway either," Clary said plaintively. "I'll drop him, or one of the MTA police will arrest me for transporting pests on the transit system."
Simon chirped his annoyance.
"Not that you're a pest, of course."
A girl who had been shouting by the door was now joined by six or seven others. The sound of angry voices rose above the hum of the party and the strains of the music. Magnus rolled his eyes.
"Excuse me,"
he said, backing into the crowd, which closed behind him instantly. Isabel, wobbling on her sandals, expelled a gusty sigh.
"So much for his help." "You know," Alex said, "you could always put the rat in your backpack."
Clary looked at him hard, but couldn't find anything wrong with the idea. It wasn't as if she had a pocket she could have tucked him in. Isabel's clothes didn't allow for pockets. They were too tight. Clary was amazed they allowed for Isabel. Shrugging off her pack, she found a hiding place for the small brown rat that had once been Simon, nestled between her rolled-up sweater and her sketch pad. He curled up atop her wallet, looking reproachful.
"I'm sorry," she said miserably.
"Don't bother," said Jace. "Why mundanes always insist on taking responsibility for things that aren't their fault is a mystery to me. You didn't force that cocktail down his idiotic throat."
If it weren't for me, he wouldn't have been here at all, Clary said in a small voice.
Don't flatter yourself. He came because of Isabel.
Angrily, Clary jerked the top of the bag closed and stood up.
Let's get out of here. I'm sick of this place.
The tight knot of shouting people by the door turned out to be more vampires, easily recognizable by the pallor of their skin and the dead blackness of their hair. They must dye it, Clary thought. They couldn't possibly all be naturally dark-haired, and besides, some of them had blonde eyebrows. They were loudly complaining about their vandalized motorbikes and the fact that some of their friends were missing and unaccounted for.
They're probably drunk and passed out somewhere, Magnus said, waving long white fingers in a bored manner. You know how you lot tend to turn into bats and piles of dust when you've downed a few too many Bloody Marys.
They mix their vodka with real blood, Jay said in Clary's ear.
The pressure of his breath made her shiver. Yes, I got that, thanks.
We can't go around picking up every pile of dust in the place just in case it turns out to be Gregor in the morning, said a girl with a sulky mouth and painted-on eyebrows.
Gregor will be fine. I rarely sweep, soothed Magnus. I'm happy to send any stragglers back to the hotel come tomorrow, in a car with blacked-out windows, of course.
But what about our motorbikes?
Said a thin boy whose blonde roots showed just under his bad dye job. A gold earring in the shape of a stake hung from his left earlobe.
It'll take hours to fix them.
You've got until sunrise, said Magnus, temper visibly fraying. I suggest you get started.
He raised his voice.
All right, that's it. Party's over. Everybody out.
He waved his arms, shedding glitter. With a single loud twang, the band ceased playing. A drone of loud complaint rose from the partygoers, but they moved obediently toward the doorway. None of them stopped to thank Magnus for the party.
Come on.
Jace pushed Clary toward the exit. The crowd was dense. She held her backpack in front of her, hands wrapped protectively around it. Someone bumped her shoulder hard, and she yelped and moved sideways, away from Jace. A hand brushed her backpack. She looked up and saw the vampire with the stake earring grinning at her.
Hey, pretty thing, he said. What's in the bag?
Holy water,
said Jace, reappearing beside her as if he'd been conjured up like a genie. A sarcastic blonde genie with a bad attitude.
Ooh, a shadow hunter, said the vampire. Scary.
With a wink, he melted back into the crowd.
Vampires are such prima donnas. Magnus sighed from the doorway. Honestly, I don't know why I have these parties.
Because of your cat, Clary reminded him. Magnus perked up.
That's true. Chairman Meow deserves my every effort.
He glanced at her and the tight knot of shadow hunters just behind her.
You on your way out?
Jace nodded.
Don't want to overstay our welcome.
What welcome? Magnus asked. I'd say it was a pleasure to meet you, but it wasn't. Not that you aren't all fairly charming. And as for you...
He dropped a glittery wink at Alec, who looked astounded.
Call me?
Alec blushed and stuttered and probably would have stood there all night if Jace hadn't grasped his elbow and hauled him toward the door, Isabel at their heels. Clary was about to follow when she felt a light tap on her arm. It was Magnus.
I have a message for you, he said. From your mother.
Clary was so surprised she nearly dropped the pack.
From my mother? You mean she asked you to tell me something?
Not exactly, Magnus said.
His feline eyes, slit by their single vertical pupils like fissures in a green gold wall, were serious for once.
But I knew her in a way that you didn't. She did what she did to keep you out of a world that she hated. Her whole existence, the running, the hiding, the lies, as you called them, were to keep you safe. Don't waste her sacrifices by risking your life. She wouldn't want that.
She wouldn't want me to save her?
Not if it meant putting yourself in danger.
But I'm the only person who cares what happens to her.
No, Magnus said. You aren't.
Clary blinked.
I don't understand. Is there... Magnus, if you know something...
He cut her off with brutal precision.
And one last thing.
His eyes flicked toward the door, through which Jace, Alec, and Isabel had disappeared.
Keep in mind that when your mother fled from the Shadow World, it wasn't the monsters she was hiding from. Not the warlocks, the wolfmen, the fair folk, not even the demons themselves. It was them. It was the Shadow Hunters.
They were waiting for her outside the warehouse. Jace, hands in pockets, was leaning against the stairway railing and watching as the vampires stalked around their broken motorcycles, cursing and swearing. He had a faint smile on his face. Alec and Isabel stood a little way off. Isabel was wiping at her eyes, and Clary felt a wave of irrational anger. Isabel barely knew Simon. This wasn't her disaster. Clary was the one who had the right to be carrying on, not the Shadow Hunter girl. Jace unhitched himself from the railing as Clary emerged. He fell into step beside her, not speaking. He seemed lost in thought. Isabel and Alec, hurrying ahead, sounded like they were arguing with each other. Clary stepped up her pace a little, craning her neck to hear them better.
"It's not your fault," Alec was saying.
He sounded weary, as if he'd been through this sort of thing with his sister before. Clary wondered how many boyfriends she'd turn into rats by accident.
"But it ought to teach you not to go to so many downworld parties," he added. "They're always more trouble than they're worth."
Isabel sniffed loudly.
"If anything had happened to him, I don't know what I would have done."
"Probably whatever it is you did before," said Alec in a bored voice. "It's not like you knew him all that well."
"That doesn't mean that I don't..."
"What, love him?"
Alec scoffed, raising his voice.
"You need to know someone to love them."
"But that's not all it is."
Isabel sounded almost sad.
"Didn't you have any fun at the party, Alec?"
"No."
"I thought you might like Magnus. He's nice, isn't he?"
"Nice?"
Alec looked at her as if she were insane.
"Kittens are nice. Warlocks are..."
He hesitated.
"Not,"
he finished, lamely.
"I thought you might hit it off."
Isabel's eye makeup glittered as bright as tears as she glanced over at her brother.
"Get to be friends."
"I have friends," Alec said, and looked over his shoulder, almost as if he couldn't help it, at Jace.
But Jace, his golden head down, lost in thought, didn't notice. On impulse, Clary reached to open the pack and glance into it, and frowned. The pack was open. She flashed back to the party. She'd lifted the pack, pulled the zipper closed. She was sure of it. She yanked the bag open, her heart pounding. She remembered the time she'd had her wallet stolen on the subway. She remembered opening her bag, not seeing it there, her mouth drying up in surprise.
"Did I drop it? Have I lost it?"
And realizing, it's gone. This was like that, only 1,000 times worse. Mouth dry as bone, Clary pawed through the pack, shoving aside clothes and sketchpad, her fingernails scraping the bottom. Nothing. She'd stopped walking. Jace was hovering just ahead of her, looking impatient, Alec and Isabel already a block ahead.
"What's wrong?"
Jace asked, and she could tell he was about to add something sarcastic. He must have seen the look on her face, though, because he didn't.
"Clary?"
"He's gone," she whispered. "Simon, he was in my backpack."
"Did he climb out?"
It wasn't an unreasonable question, but Clary, exhausted and panic-stricken, reacted unreasonably.
"Of course he didn't," she screamed. "What, you think he wants to get smashed under someone's car? Killed by a cat?"
"Clary."
"Shut up," she screamed, swinging the pack at him. "You were the one who said not to bother changing him back."
Deftly, he caught the pack as she swung it. Taking it out of her hand, he examined it.
"The zip is torn," he said. "From the outside. Someone ripped this bag open."
Shaking her head numbly, Clary could only whisper,
I didn't.
"I know."
His voice was gentle. He cupped his hands around his mouth.
"Alec, Isabel, you go on ahead. We'll catch up."
The two figures, already far ahead, paused. Alec hesitated, but his sister caught hold of his arm and pushed him firmly toward the subway entrance. Something pressed against Clary's back. It was Jace's hand, turning her gently around. She let him lead her forward, stumbling over the cracks in the sidewalk, until they were back in the entryway of Magnus's building. The stench of stale alcohol and the sweet, uncanny smell Clary had come to associate with downworlders filled the tiny space. Taking his hand away from her back, Jace pressed the buzzer over Magnus's name.
"Jace," she said.
He looked down at her.
"What?"
She searched for words. Do you think he's all right?
Simon?
He hesitated then, and she thought of Isabel's words. Don't ask him a question unless you know you can stand the answer. Instead of saying anything, he pressed the buzzer again, harder this time. This time, Magnus answered it, his voice booming through the tiny entryway.
Who dares disturb my rest?
Jace looked almost nervous.
Jace Wayland, remember? I'm from the Clave.
Oh, yes. Magnus seemed to have perked up.
Are you the one with the blue eyes?
He means Alec, Clary said helpfully.
No, my eyes are usually described as golden,
Jace told the intercom, and luminous.
Oh, you're that one.
Magnus sounded disappointed. If Clary hadn't been so upset, she would have laughed.
I suppose you'd better come up.
The warlock answered his door wearing a silk kimono printed with dragons, a gold turban, and an expression of barely controlled annoyance.
I was sleeping, he said loftily.
Jace looked as if he were about to say something rude, possibly about the turban, so Clary interrupted him.
Sorry to bother you.
Something small and white peered around the warlock's ankles. It had zigzag gray stripes and tufted pink ears that made it look more like a large mouse than a small cat.
Chairman Meow? Clary guessed.
Magnus nodded.
He has returned.
Jace regarded the small tabby kitten with some scorn.
That's not a cat, he observed. It's the size of a hamster.
I am kindly going to forget you said that, said Magnus, using his foot to nudge Chairman Meow behind him. Now, exactly what did you come here for?
Clary held out the torn pack.
It's Simon. He's missing.
Ah, said Magnus, delicately.
Missing what, exactly?
Missing, Jace repeated, as in gone, absent, notable for his lack of presence, disappeared.
Maybe he's gone and hidden under something, Magnus suggested. It can't be easy getting used to being a rat, especially for someone so dim-witted in the first place.
Simon's not dim-witted, Clary protested angrily.
It's true, Jace agreed. He just looks dim-witted. Really, his intelligence is quite average.
His tone was light, but his shoulders were tense as he turned to Magnus.
When we were leaving, one of your guests brushed up against Clary. I think he tore her bag open and took the rat. Simon, I mean.
Magnus looked at him.
And?
And I need to find out who it was, said Jace steadily. I'm guessing you know. You are the High Warlock of Brooklyn. I'm thinking not much happens in your own apartment that you don't know about.
Magnus inspected a glittery nail.
You're not wrong.
Please tell us, Clary said.
Jace's hand tightened on her wrist. She knew he wanted her to be quiet, but that was impossible.
Please.
Magnus dropped his hand with a sigh.
Fine. I saw one of the vampire bike kids from the uptown lair leave with a brown rat in his hands.
Honestly, I figured it was one of their own.
Sometimes the night children turn into rats or bats when they get drunk.
Clary's hands were shaking.
But now you think it was Simon?
It's just a guess, but it seems likely.
There's one more thing.
Jace spoke calmly enough, but he was on alert now, the way he'd been in the apartment before they found the Forsaken.
Where's their lair?
Their what?
The vampire's lair. That's where they went, isn't it?
I would imagine so.
Magnus looked as if he'd rather be anywhere else.
I need you to tell me where it is.
Magnus shook his turbaned head.
I'm not setting myself on the bad side of the night children for a mundane I don't even know.
Wait, Clary interrupted. What would they want with Simon? I thought they weren't allowed to hurt people.
My guess, said Magnus, not unkindly. They assumed he was a tame rat and thought it would be funny to kill a shadow hunter's pet. They don't like you much, whatever the Accords might say, and there's nothing in the Covenant about not killing animals.
They're going to kill him? Clary said, staring.
Not necessarily, said Magnus hastily. They might have thought he was one of their own.
In which case, what'll happen to him?
Clary said.
Well, when he turns back into a human, they'll still kill him. But you might have a few more hours.
Then you have to help us, Clary said to the warlock. Otherwise, Simon will die.
Magnus looked her up and down with a sort of clinical sympathy.
They all die, dear, he said. You might as well get used to it.
He began to shut the door. Jace stuck out a foot, wedging it open. Magnus sighed.
What now?
You still haven't told us where the lair is, Jace said.
And I'm not going to. I told you.
It was Clary who cut him off, pushing herself in front of Jace. You messed with my brain, she said. Took my memories. Can't you do this one thing for me? Magnus narrowed his gleaming cat's eyes. Somewhere in the distance, Chairman Meow was crying. Slowly the warlock lowered his head and struck it once, none too gently, against the wall.
The old Hotel Dumont, he said. Uptown.
I know where that is.
Jace looked pleased.
We need to get there right away. Do you have a portal? Clary demanded, addressing Magnus.
No.
He looked annoyed.
Portals are quite difficult to construct and pose no small risk to their owner. Nasty things can come through them if they're not warded properly. The only ones I know of in New York are the one at Dorothea's and the one at Renwick's, but they're both too far away to be worth the bother of trying to get there, even if you were sure their owners would let you use them, which they probably wouldn't. Got that? Now go away.
Magnus stared pointedly at Jace's foot, still blocking the door. Jace didn't move.
One more thing, Jace said. Is there a holy place around here?
Good idea. If you're going to take on a lair of vampires by yourself, you'd better pray first.
We need weapons, Jace said tersely. More than what we've got on us.
Magnus pointed.
There's a Catholic church down on Diamond Street. Will that do?
Jace nodded, stepping back. That's... The door slammed in their faces. Clary, breathing as if she'd been running, stared at it until Jace took her arm and steered her down the steps and into the night. Chapter 14. The Hotel du Mort. At night, the Diamond Street Church looked spectral, its gothic arched windows reflecting the moonlight like silvery mirrors. A wrought iron fence surrounded the building and was painted a matte black. Clary rattled the front gate, but a sturdy padlock held it closed.
It's locked, she said, glancing at Jace over her shoulder.
He brandished his steely.
Let me at it.
She watched him as he worked the lock, watched the lean curve of his back, the swell of muscles under the short sleeves of his t-shirt. The moonlight washed the color out of his hair, turning it more silver than gold. The padlock hit the ground with a clang, a twisted lump of metal. Jace looked pleased with himself.
As usual, he said. I'm amazingly good at that.
Clary felt suddenly annoyed.
When the self-congratulatory part of the evening is over, maybe we could get back to saving my best friend from being exsanguinated to death.
Exsanguinated, said Jace, impressed. That's a big word.
And you're a big...
he interrupted.
No swearing in church.
We're not in the church yet, Clary muttered, following him up the stone path to the double front doors.
The stone arch above the doors was beautifully carved, an angel looking down from its highest point. Sharply pointed spires were silhouetted black against the night sky, and Clary realized that this was the church she had glimpsed earlier that night from McCarran Park. She bit her lip.
It seems wrong to pick the lock on a church door, somehow.
Jace's profile in the moonlight was serene.
We're not going to, he said, sliding his steely into his pocket.
He placed a thin brown hand, marked all over with delicate white scars like a veiling of lace, against the wood of the door, just above the latch.
In the name of the Clave, he said, I ask entry to this holy place. In the name of the battle that never ends, I ask the use of your weapons. And in the name of the angel Raziel, I ask your blessings on my mission against the darkness.
Clary stared at him. He didn't move, though the night wind blew his hair into his eyes. He blinked, and just as she was about to speak, the door opened with a click and a creak of hinges. It swung inward smoothly before them, opening onto a cool, dark, empty space, lit by points of fire. Jace stepped back.
Off to you.
When Clary stepped inside, a wave of cool air enveloped her, along with the smell of stone and candle wax. Dim rows of pews stretched toward the altar, and a bank of candles glowed like a bed of sparks against the far wall. She realized that, apart from the Institute, which didn't really count, she'd never actually been inside a church before. She'd seen pictures and seen the insides of churches in movies and in anime shows, where they turned up regularly. A scene in one of her favorite anime series took place in a church with a monstrous vampire priest. You were supposed to feel safe inside a church, but she didn't. Strange shapes seemed to loom up at her out of the shadows. She shivered.
The stone walls keep out the heat, said Jace, noticing.
It's not that, she said. You know, I've never been in a church before.
You've been in the Institute?
I mean in a real church. For services, that sort of thing.
Really? Well, this is the nave where the pews are. It's where people sit during services.
They moved forward, their voices echoing off the stone walls.
Up here is the apse. That's where we're standing. And this is the altar, where the priest performs the Eucharist. It's always at the east side of the church.
He knelt down in front of the altar, and she thought for a moment that he was praying. The altar itself was high, made of a dark granite and draped with a red cloth. Behind it loomed an ornate gold screen, etched with the figures of saints and martyrs, each with a flat gold disc behind his head representing a halo.
Jace, she whispered, what are you doing?
He had placed his hands on the stone floor and was moving them back and forth rapidly, as if searching for something, his fingertips stirring up dust.
Looking for weapons.
Here?
They'd be hidden, usually around the altar, kept for our use in case of emergencies.
And this is what? Some kind of deal you have with the Catholic Church?
Not specifically. Demons have been on Earth as long as we have. They're all over the world in their different forms. Greek demons, Persian devas, Hindu asuras, Japanese oni. Most belief systems have some method of incorporating both their existence and the fight against them. Shadowhunters cleave to no single religion, and in turn, all religions assist us in our battle. I could as easily have gone for help to a Jewish synagogue or a Shinto temple or... Ah, here it is.
He brushed dust aside as she knelt down beside him. Carved into one of the octagonal stones before the altar was a rune. Clary recognized it almost as easily as if she were reading a word in English. It was the rune that meant Nephilim. Jace took out his steely and touched it to the stone. With a grinding noise, it moved back, revealing a dark compartment underneath. Inside the compartment was a long wooden box. Jace lifted the lid and regarded the neatly arranged objects inside with satisfaction.
What are all these? Clary asked.
Vials of holy water, blessed knives, steel and silver blades, Jace said, piling the weapons on the floor beside him. Electrum wire, not much use at the moment, but it's always good to have spare. Silver bullets, charms of protection, crucifixes, stars of David.
Jesus, said Clary.
I doubt he'd fit.
Jace!
Clary was appalled.
What? I don't know, it seems wrong to make jokes like that in a church.
He shrugged. I'm not really a believer.
Clary looked at him in surprise.
You're not?
He shook his head. Hair fell over his face, but he was examining a vial of clear liquid and didn't reach up to push it back. Clary's fingers itched with the desire to do it for him.
You thought I was religious, he said.
Well,
she hesitated.
If there are demons, then there must be...
Must be what?
Jace slid the vial into his pocket.
Ah, he said. You mean if there's this, and he pointed down toward the floor.
There must be this.
He pointed up toward the ceiling.
It stands to reason, doesn't it?
Jace lowered his hand and picked up a blade, examining the hilt.
I'll tell you, he said. I've been killing demons for a third of my life. I must have sent 500 of them back to whatever hellish dimension they crawled out of. And in all that time, I've never seen an angel, never even heard of anyone who has.
But it was an angel who created Shadowhunters in the first place, Clary said. That's what Hodge said.
It makes a nice story.
Jace looked at her through eyes slitted like a cat's.
My father believed in God, he said. I don't.
At all?
She wasn't sure why she was needling him. She'd never given any thought to whether she believed in God and angels and so forth herself, and if asked, would have said she didn't.
There was something about Jace, though, that made her want to push him, crack that shell of cynicism and make him admit he believed in something, felt something, cared about anything at all.
"Let me put it this way," he said, sliding a pair of knives into his belt. The faint light that filtered through the stained glass windows threw squares of color across his face. "My father believed in a righteous God. Deus vult, that was his motto. Because God wills it. It was the Crusaders' motto. And they went out to battle and were slaughtered, just like my father. And when I saw him lying dead in a pool of his own blood, I knew then that I hadn't stopped believing in God. I'd just stopped believing God cared. There might be a God, Clary, and there might not, but I don't think it matters. Either way, we're on our own."
They were the only passengers in their train car heading back uptown. Clary sat without speaking, thinking about Simon. Every once in a while, Jace would look over at her as if he were about to say something, before lapsing back into an uncharacteristic silence. When they climbed out of the subway, the streets were deserted, the air heavy and metal-tasting, the bodegas and laundromats and check-cashing centers silent behind their nighttime doors of corrugated steel. They found the hotel, finally, after an hour of looking, on a side street off 116th. They'd walked past it twice, thinking it was just another abandoned apartment building, before Clary saw the sign. It had come loose from a nail and it dangled hidden behind a stunted tree. Hotel Dumont, it should have said. But someone had painted out the N and replaced it with an R.
"Hotel Dumont," Jace said, when she pointed it out to him. Cute.
Clary had only had 2 years of French, but it was enough to get the joke.
"Dumont," she said. "Of death."
Jace nodded. He had gone alert all over, like a cat who sees a mouse whisking behind a sofa.
"But it can't be the hotel," Clary said. "The windows are all boarded up, and the door's been bricked over."
"Oh," she finished, catching his look. "Right. Vampires. But how did they get inside?"
"They fly," Jace said, and indicated the upper floors of the building.
It had once, clearly, been a graceful and luxurious hotel. The stone facade was elegantly decorated with carved curlicues and fleur-de-lis, dark and eroded from years of exposure to polluted air and acid rain.
"We don't fly," Clary felt impelled to point out.
"No," Jace agreed, "we don't fly. We break and enter."
He started across the street toward the hotel.
"Flying sounds like more fun," Clary said, hurrying to catch up with him.
"Right now, everything sounds like more fun."
She wondered if he meant it. There was an excitement about him, an anticipation of the hunt that didn't look to her as if he were as unhappy as he claimed.
"He's killed more demons than anyone else his age.
You didn't kill that many demons by hanging back reluctantly from a fight." A hot wind had come up, stirring the leaves on the stunted trees outside the hotel, sending the trash in the gutters and on the sidewalk skittering across the cracked pavement. The area was oddly deserted, Clary thought. Usually in Manhattan, there was always someone else on the street, even at 4 in the morning. Several of the streetlights lining the sidewalk were out, though the one closest to the hotel cast a dim yellow glow across the cracked pathway that led up to what had once been the front door.
"Stay out of the light," Jace said, pulling her towards him by her sleeve. "They might be watching from the windows. And don't look up," he added, but it was too late.
Clary had already glanced up at the shattered windows of the higher floors. For a moment, she half thought she glimpsed a flicker of movement at one of the windows, a flash of whiteness that could have been a face or a hand drawing back a heavy drape.
"Come on!"
Jace drew her with him to melt into the shadows closer to the hotel. She felt her heightened nervousness in her spine, in the pulse in her wrists, in the hard beat of blood in her ears. The faint drone of distant cars seemed very far away, the only sound the crunch of her own shoes on the garbage-strewn pavement. She wished she could walk soundlessly like a shadow hunter. Maybe someday she'd ask Jace to teach her. They slipped around the corner of the hotel into an alley that had probably once been a service lane for deliveries. It was narrow, choked with garbage, moldy cardboard boxes, empty glass bottles, shredded plastic, scattered things that Clary thought at first were toothpicks, but up close looked like
bones, Jace said flatly. Dog bones, cat bones. Don't look too closely. Going through vampire's trash is rarely a pretty picture.
She swallowed down her nausea.
Well, she said, at least we know we're in the right place. And was rewarded by the glint of respect that showed briefly in Jace's eyes.
Oh, we're in the right place, he said. Now we just have to figure out how to get inside.
There had clearly been windows here once, now bricked up. There was no door and no sign of a fire.